I want to talk today about when I'm weak, he's strong. When I'm weak, he is strong. When we make a decision for Christ and we believe on him and receive him as our Savior, we have a certain amount of revelation, faith, that I need Jesus. And then from that day and on, you begin to grow in God's Word. So before I get into this message, I want to define one word for you that if you get this message today, if you could just grasp this one concept, I'm telling you, it'll change your world. Now, the word is grace. Grace is God's unearned favor to you. It is His ability that is freely given to you. And so many of us believe that if you want to give your life to Christ, you can come as you are, as messed up, as, you know, with all the problems and addictions and sins and arrogance and pride and whatever we came with. How many know that Jesus accepts us as we are and that He transforms our life? Amen? Now, this next point, few Christians understand. Not only did He transform you and remake you into a righteous person, you are righteous not because of your behavior, but because of your identity in Christ. But did you know that this life that you are now to live as a follower of Christ, not only does He forgive you, remake you and give you a new nature, but He also lives this life through you. And here is where people struggle so much. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, I have been crucified. Crucified. What's that? That's dying on a cross. I have been killed with Christ. And not only was I killed, now a lot of people think that as a Christian, you were killed, you were resurrected, and this is still you, the new improved edition. This is you, the renewed edition. You know, the old Leon, dead, died, this is the new Leon. Actually, there's truth there, but in Galatians 2:20 it says, I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live. Let's just camp there for a minute. Well, I thought it was me living now, and I'm the new improved one with a few more talents and skills and abilities. No, you're dead, and you're not supposed to be living. Meaning the self-centered you. That you with your ability, that you with your reasoning, that you with your wisdom is dead, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live in this flesh, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. Did you know that as a Christian, you can set aside God's grace? As a believer, you can go back to your strength, your wisdom, your knowledge, your ability, and when you do that, you will suffer from mental burnout, physical exhaustion. You will be discouraged. You will be disappointed because you have no ability to live this new life in your strength and in your ability. You, that old you, is dead. And you are to be living, Christ is to be living within you. I like the last verse where it says, I do not set aside the grace of God. I don't want to set aside His ability, His power flowing through me. So it's not me being the husband that I want to be. It's Jesus loving my wife through me. It's not me trying to be the best dad I could possibly be. In all of my ability, in all that I have, I could never raise that child for God because I've got to raise those kids to serve Him. So I must let Jesus love my kids through me. Then they can be loved by Christ's love, not just Leon's earthly love. This is an incredible revelation. But so many Christians, once they give their lives to Christ, they fully believe that they came as they were, but they don't realize that not only can Jesus transform you, but Jesus can live this life through you because you have no hope. Over the years of counseling with people in our church offices, we literally see this cycle. Many people give their lives to Christ. They're excited for a while because they know they can't change anything. They come with this addiction. They come with that marriage problem, a financial issue. They come with just low self-worth they're struggling with. They come emotionally disturbed or whatever this thing, and they come, and the Word of God just touches them and changes them, and it's so exciting. And then somewhere in there, they set aside the grace of God. They set aside His ability living through them. And they begin to do it on their strength, their reasoning, their knowledge. They think they know enough now, and they don't realize they have set aside the grace of God. They have set aside His ability flowing through them. You know, Pentecostals have this crazy definition of being Spirit-filled. They think to be Spirit-filled is speaking in tongues. Do you know a whole ton of people? I know a whole ton of people who pray in the Spirit, and they're about as filled as... It doesn't just mean that you have a prayer language. It means that this fullness of Holy Spirit is flowing in your life, and that you're allowing God to love through you. You're allowing God to work through you. When the angels sang peace on earth, goodwill towards men, they weren't saying that there would be peace amongst the countries of the earth. There will be no peace on this planet until there is peace in individual countries. And there will be no peace in individual countries till there is peace in individual families. And there will be no peace in families unless the people in those families have this Jesus in their heart and they have peace in their heart. You can put in the right governments. You can put in all the right things to govern this world. You could even put in a world leader who puts in systems that averages out all the money. Be as socialistic as you want. And it'll still get messed up because there is no ability to have peace until peace comes within an individual's heart. And so we must recognize as a church that the greatest thing that this world has ever got is the Church of Jesus Christ, because there is no hope for peace. Listen to me. There is no hope for peace through just governments. Never has it lasted. This world's been here for thousands of years, and country comes against country. And even if you get a new leader, he dies and a new one rises up. And if it's not a godly leader or a person who cares about people, then he will take that country. Businesses rise up with billions of dollars, and if they aren't going to have someone at the helm that loves Christ and wants to bring the wealth and the conditions of this company so that they're not taking advantage of people, polluting the earth, destroying families with child labor and whatever else is going on the planet. There is no peace until this beautiful gift at Christmas called Jesus comes into the hearts of people, forgives them, washes them clean, makes them a new creation. And now listen, and then you begin to live this new life with His grace. And if you set His grace aside, you are going to be living just like the world. Now, when you die, you get to go to heaven, but you will have the same frustrations, the same hurts and challenges. You'll have the same lack of the miraculous. You'll have the same that the world has. Now, look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempted to be justified by law." Let's put it, now this is written to the Jews, but for you it would be by your works. It says, you have fallen from grace. Have you ever heard that term, fallen from grace? It used to be preached years ago a lot by people, and they would use this term, you have fallen from grace. And they would literally mean you've gone into sin. You have fallen from grace. That is not what it means at all. Not what it means at all. What's talking here is that you have become estranged. You have stopped looking at Christ as your righteousness, and you've looked at your own behavior as your righteousness, your own track record, your own ability. You're so good that what's wrong with you? I keep the law, and I don't drink, and I don't cuss, and I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't dance with those who do, or whatever your list is. We now are trying to qualify ourselves. But here it says, when you back away from Jesus as your righteousness, from Jesus as your life, from Jesus as your Lord, you fall from grace. You fall from this dependency that only Jesus can see you through. You fall from this ability to live this life, to live your marriage, to live your family, to live this life of giving, so that your money's not just about your selfishness, but I'm financing the kingdom of God. You have fallen from grace. Today, I want you to understand one thing in the verses and the messages that I'm sharing, and that is that you and I have no ability to live this life. You may as well give up right now, but yet every Christian will go to that. They will give their lives to Christ, and then at some point, they begin to feel like all the beautiful disciplines of the Christian life. They get a few of them together, and now they start judging others. And now they start feeling like they've arrived, and they're going to do the rest. You have no ability to live for Christ. You must let Christ do the living through you. His ability, His power, His strength, His love. Then, according to Galatians chapter 5, you can walk in an incredible kindness. You can walk in an incredible joy. You know, so many people, when they look at the word peace, shalom in the Hebrew, Jesus said, it's my peace that I give you. Not as the world has peace, he says in the book of John, but I give you my peace. Every one of us here, and we all do, and it's not that this is bad, we are all solving problems in our lives. If we don't solve problems, they get worse. But if you think that solving problems in your life is going to bring peace, you're mistaken. Let me ask you a question. Just think about this for a minute. What problem right now could you go, Leon, if this would change, would there be a lot of peace in my life? What is that issue? Well, it's my marriage issue. Well, it's this in-law. Well, it's a money issue. Well, it's a health issue. Well, it's an emotional issue. Actually, the peace that we all struggle for will never come if you are required to bring peace into your external world. Jesus said, there will always be troubles. Just when you get your life at peace, your boss who's not at peace can mess with your job. Just when you've got your peace and you got your life at peace, some teenage kid isn't, who's in your house, and they're going to mess with your peace. Just when you finally buy a house in a good neighborhood and you've paid your bills and you paid your house off and things are pretty peaceful in your exterior world, you're going to have a neighbor that's going to eat you for lunch. There will be, listen to me close, don't get depressed, there will be no true peace in your exterior world in this lifetime. Oh, gee, really? Well, then what in the... Listen to me. The peace that Jesus brings is an internal peace that as you walk through the challenge with raising that teenager, you're at peace when the life around you isn't. When you go to work and everybody's freaking anxious, stressed, committing suicide because it's happening. And you see all the things that are going on in the government and the economy and the decisions that company makes, and it's attached to your career, and it's up and it's down, and it's there and it's not. And you go, good. No, oh no, really? Okay, I come. Your world will never be at peace because you are living with a whole bunch of people who are not at peace. And we're living where we have an enemy. And that enemy is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And the second you find external peace, his job will be to destroy it. And he will do it through other people that you can't control. You can't force your boss to make right decisions. So we live in a world that the only hope is that you learn to have a peace that passes understanding. To have a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. This joy is not going to come because you've got joyful things happening in your life. No, this joy will be despite the things that are happening in your life. So, this grace is God's undeserved favor. And what is his undeserved favor? It's his ability flowing through you. I want to say this to some of you mature believers. One guy said to me, he was arguing with me about my message. Well, I want you to know I've been in this way for 50 years. I said, no, you've been in the way for 50 years. When you get, the Bible says when your mind is set on the flesh, it is death. When your mind is set on the Spirit, it is life and peace. So many Christians have never, never allowed Jesus to be their life. Let me ask you a question. What is maturity in a Christian? Here's what Christians think. Maturity is when you've got a bunch of the I don't do's together. I don't drink, and I don't commit adultery, and I don't steal, and because I don't do all these things, I'm mature. That's actually not the definition of maturity. Say, well, then it's my service. I give, I volunteer, I attend. Give me a gold star on my chart in heaven. No. Now, we like, and everyone around you likes, the fact that you do these things. But none of these things are the sign of a mature Christian. I've got friends who are so frustrated, so unhappy, and they know more Bible verses than I do. I've got people I talk to around this world who've got degrees and who can read Hebrew and Greek and oh man, they can get into the Bible. And I'll sit and I'll talk with them and I'll look into their eyes and I see no peace. I see no joy. And I know they are an immature Christian. What? They know Greek, they know Hebrew, they've got 7 years of seminary, and so they must be mature believers. The sign of maturity in a Christian is the lordship of Jesus. He's not just your Savior, he's your Lord. That means that you didn't just depend upon him to forgive you, to clean you up, to include you in his family. But every day, you are going, I need you, Jesus. I'll give you one more verse in closing. It's the prayer that we talked about. There's 9 different kinds of prayer. I'm going to just say it, and you can look it up yourself. There's 9 different kinds of prayer that I find in the Bible. I did probably 2 months to 3 months of teaching on it, and I believe they've got the series here called The Prayer Toolbox. One of the prayers is called the prayer of commitment. Now listen to this. The prayer of commitment is where you cast your cares on him. It is where you pray over the situation in your life that is hurting. And when you pray, you go, and I cast the cares of this financial mess on you, God. I can't control economies. I can't control CEOs' hearts and decisions. I can't control the CFO and the financial decisions he makes for this company. I can't control my coworkers. I can't control my neighbors. I can't even control my spouse or my kids. God, I'm fraying at the edges. So today, I just cast these cares on you. This prayer should be prayed. There are times I probably pray that prayer 100 times in one day. Okay, God, I need how much for the churches? Okay, God, we have to do what with this television station? Okay, Father, we have which needs with the school? And okay, Father, there's what going on now over here? So I pray, I make some decisions, and then I say, and Father, I cast this care on you. Otherwise, I have a new backpack put on my back. Here's one 50-pounder. And then there's another 50-pounder. And there's another 50-pounder. Until I'm so weighed down by the decisions of life that I have begun to depend upon myself. And when you depend upon yourself, your ability is but this big. But when you begin to depend upon Jesus, He is the author and the finisher. How many miracles, how many things have you started to see God work in your life, and then somewhere on the journey it all disappeared, and you're back to your own strength, you're back to your own reasoning, you're back to your own abilities. This life that you started by giving your life to Jesus cannot be lived by you. You do not have the ability. So what do? You turn to Jesus in everything and say, I'm trusting that your peace is flowing through me this season. I'm trusting that as I get together with my in-laws, Jesus help us, that person that makes me so angry, that I will be at peace because your peace will be in me as we gather as a family. I thank you as I come to a close of this year and I try to figure out our business and have we made money and how many staff do we have to lay off and what. But Father, I cast the cares, the anxieties, the stresses of this on you, and I make decisions with a sense of peace and a sense of faith. If you're at a place somewhere in your life where you have given up, where you are stressed out, where you have no ability to bring change, then recognize the greatest hindrance to God's strength is your strength. Because you'll depend upon yourself. That's why the Apostle Paul, and different times in the Bible it says and teaches this issue, that when I am weak, then He is strong. Most Christians in a situation don't turn to God's grace and His ability till their marriage is almost finished, till their health is almost finished, till their kids are almost finished, till something in their life has proven your strength, your ability, your reasoning, your giftedness can't do it. And then at the end of your rope where you've tied a knot at the very bottom and you're swinging, and as your fingers begin to peel off that rope one by one and you know you're going to fall and you go, Jesus, I need you. And all of a sudden, His strength, His ability begins to rise up. And you know what most denominations believe? You will not know God's strength till you go through great suffering. That's what most believe. And do you know why they believe that? Because most people won't go to God's strength till their strength has been proven to not work. And they think that it's the pain and the heartaches of life. And I understand their doctrines, because if you go through a whole ton of hurt, I hope you learn something. But that's not how God teaches us. He teaches us through His Word and through His Spirit. So the greatest thing you can do is make a decision every day, even though you're good at something. If I was to ask you, what are you really good at? Some woman's going to say, I'm a great mother. That's the area you're going to fail in, because you're depending on your strength. You need to say, Father, thank you for giving me abilities to be a mom, but I'm going to depend upon you to raise these kids. If you think I'm a great business person, man, look at me. Everything I do just turns to gold. Then that's the area that you're going to fail miserably at somewhere, because you have begun to depend on your own strength. Recognize you have skills there, but continue to say, Jesus, I need you to live through me in the finances, the careers that I'm doing. And then the mind that created the universe, the mind that thought up subatomic particles, gravity and black holes, and all the things this world can't even understand, will flow through you in all the areas of your life. And if you do not turn to Him daily and say, Lord, I need your ability in all these areas, and I rely on you, then that is an area that you'll probably fail in. So rather than waiting till you fail, why don't you go to Him now? A better teacher than experience is Holy Spirit and God's Word. Let's begin to go to Him. Why don't you start at Christmas time? A time when family comes together, friends come together. And why don't you go into every meeting, every party, the Christmas time, just saying, God, today, help Jesus to flow through me. Let Jesus' power flow through me, His peace, His joy. And people will look at you and they will know, like they did when they looked at the disciples. They didn't see the disciples. They saw that they had been with Jesus. His peace flowed through them. His love flowed through them. Wherever you are really gifted, be very, very careful and say, Jesus, in this area, thank you that you gave me this gift. You gave me these abilities. And now I'm still asking you, would you live through me in these areas so that I don't rely upon myself? Because to be carnally minded or to only rely on yourself will become death. But if you always turn to Jesus and say, live through me, flow through me, you will know a peace and a joy that when business goes up and business goes down, when staff come and staff go, when you get the contracts and you don't get the contracts, none of it is tied to your peace. So you still get to go home and enjoy your family. You still get to go out and enjoy Disney World. You still get to go out and enjoy friends. But people whose they don't have God's ability flowing through them, then your peace is tied to the ups and the downs of business. Your peace is tied to the ups and downs of marriage and hormones and all of that goes. Your peace is tied to, are your kids serving Jesus or not? Are they obeying or not? You don't want your peace tied to your outside track record. You want your peace tied to an internal peace, an internal joy, an internal kindness. And the only way there is each day to say, Jesus, I need you. Live through me in all that I do. And I'm telling you, there is a place of serving Jesus that I've noticed few Christians, actually few pastors, actually walk in for the rest of their lives at peace. For the rest of their lives at joy. For the rest of their lives excited about the future. None of us are strong enough to do that. So that is why little line says, submit to God, resist the devil. Let's change the word submit. Why don't you say yield? Yield to God. Resist the devil. Watch what happens in your life. Father, I pray that you would touch each person here. That, Father, they would make a decision each morning to make the decision that I'm going to be focused on Holy Spirit. I'm going to be focused on you. To flow through me, work through me, love through me, be kind through me. Live your life through my life. And Father, we will live in a level of joy and peace we've never experienced yet. I pray that you'd touch each person here. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. How many would say, I'm going to make a decision starting today just to continually turn my life over to Jesus? Amen? Make sure that when you hear a message, that it causes you to act out something new. If you don't, this message will cause great doubt in your life. Anything that you hear that is true that you don't practice simply becomes a part of your repertoire of knowledge, and because you know it, you think you've got it. But that's mental assent. That's not faith. So today, start praying the prayer of commitment. I cast my cares on you. Whenever we're, you know that worrying is a sin. Being anxious is a sin because it's out of faith. So every time you feel anxiety, every time you feel worry, you just go, I cast the care of blank on you. You might have to pray it 50 times today, but as you do this each day, this awareness that I'm allowed to pass it off to Christ will allow you to move forward with such peace.